This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
You have not been impressed with the one Baker Mayfield, though, throughout this preseason, throughout this training camp. Is that true?
Yeah, but, you know, I'm not closing the book on anything. But, I mean, there were parts of camp that were rough, so... You know, by the time you say this is understandable and this is early and then really judge what camp was, which was not much at all, then, you know, what does it really mean? Probably not a whole lot. You know, do I have expectations for the passing game the first couple of weeks of the season? Not very high ones. We'll see. I think it's going to be ugly all around. And I really don't think anybody knows what to expect, which, you know, makes it super interesting. But, you know, you can look at the Browns and say this is where a lot of their constant change caught up with them, right? Because they lost 20-some, maybe 30 practices, depending on how you look at it. When they did open camp, it was shortened. It was installation phase. It was, you know, not at all what a real camp is. So now they play a game on Sunday without preseason, without joint practices, without really much of a ramp up, and we'll see what happens.
So if you were going to grade Baker Mayfield throughout an entire preseason, throughout a training camp, what grade would you give him?
Not a very high one, but it would not be a grade that means anything because camp is over and the real games start on Sunday.
Okay. All right. That's a good answer. Go ahead, Tone.
Anyone around these parts, and you've seen different camps over the years, and you were with the Browns, so you've had up close and personal, you know, relations with these camps in the past, which I know is such a treat for you during those hot August days. So, with all of that said, how different was this camp? You said 30 to 35 practices less. You saw pads only 14 times. They've already collectively bargained to have less and less anyway over the years. How seriously different was it, and could you in any way have a takeaway on how Stefanski's running camp and his coaching staff?
Well, from what I saw, which was the latest camp ever, I mean, it led me to, you know, ask around, read up, call around. I mean, it was kind of the norm. You know, some teams had a couple of days of let it rip or a couple of days where there were periods of let it rip. the Browns really didn't do much of that. From what I understand, the Ravens didn't do much of that. At least one or two teams didn't tackle at all during camp. So that was what was chosen. But you know, we were allowed to go for basically 2 weeks. And in that time, you know, they had three padded practices, and then they went 5 days before the next padded practice. Some of that was mandatory off day. Some of that was circumstance with the false positives. You know, then last week they had three practices that were closed to the media, but over 2 weeks of camp, we didn't see a practice go over 2 hours. We didn't see any live tackling until that day at the Sunday at the stadium, and that was a couple of periods. You know, now look, last year, Freddie 5 days in a row was going 2.5 hours full pads, and we saw what the Browns were in December. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it in no way resembled a real training camp, which is 5 weeks long, you know, and they're starting at least one rookie on the offensive line on Sunday. Well, normally that guy would get 15 May and June practices, two mini camps, 6 weeks to gather himself before real camp, and 5 weeks of camp. Jedrick Wills got 2 weeks of camp, 3 days of practice, and this in game week.
Man, well, that doesn't sound like much. Now, hopefully,
when you put it like that, Zach, I mean,
yeah, I mean, hopefully, it's all relative that the other teams you're going up against have a lot of guys in the same situation.
Yeah,
but
I
do.
It is. I mean, I'm not. You know, like I said, I am not ripping Kevin Stefanski for how camp was run. I mean, you could tell watching it that this was deliberate, and they are not the only team that did it. But I mean, in trying to do all the research on who the Ravens are going to put up against Wills and, you know, where their areas are. They are kind of remaking their interior, their offensive line after Hall of Famer Marshall Yonder retired. They did not push go in camp really at all. You know, Lamar missed some days even. So these are the circumstances that everybody is dealing with.
So, Zach, when
the Browns have new schemes and new coordinators and, you know, not a brand new offensive line, but if J.C. Treader doesn't play, it's pretty close to brand new.
When you watch some of the college football, and I know it's very different and those aren't professionals, but when you watch some of the college football over the weekend, did that help you glean anything for what it could look like this week around the NFL with a lot of inexperienced guys just not having any chance to go out and do much?
No, you know, I didn't watch much, Anthony, to be honest with you, and I wouldn't put much into that because the NFL players are so skilled. You know, my concerns and my questions will be, okay, in the second halves, the conditioning's clearly not there. You know, first of all, guys staying healthy. You know, it's still going to look like an NFL game. And really, if you go back, you know, since 2011, when they cut down training camp, I think offensive lines have needed time. I think games have been ugly, you know, early in the year. But what happens with the conditioning? And then what do the Browns players' bodies feel like on Monday when they have to play again on Thursday? I think that's the bigger question. So we can wonder now, and we can expect ugly, but I think, you know, a week from today, we really have to wonder what it's going to be in week two. Now, I think it's a tremendous advantage for the Browns that they're going to play a rookie quarterback next Thursday who's really not going to get a full practice between game one and game two of his career. And I think it's a tremendous advantage for the Browns that they finish or that they follow this with the Bengals and with Washington because, you know, if Sunday doesn't go well, they can still be 2-1. But I don't think there's going to be a lot of works of art from a football standpoint around the league this weekend, and I don't think the Browns are going to put one together either.
Zach Jackson joining us on the show from the A to Z podcast. What does Kareem Hunt's deal mean for Nick Chubb's future?
It might mean Nick Chubb lost a lot of money. So, you know, what exactly it means, I don't know. But first, I think, you know, it gives the Browns leverage in a way. It's too early to know, you know, exactly. But I think it protects the Browns. I think if Kareem Hunt has a great year, then they keep him out of free agency. You know, if Kareem Hunt stays clean, then what can become a feel-good story, you know, continues here. And man, Kareem Hunt looks great in camp. But what it means for Nick Chubb, I don't know. I mean, the only way to read it right now is that they're not going to pay Nick Chubb. And when you look at from Christian McCaffrey and Ezekiel Elliott, you know, Zeke was exactly a year ago. McCaffrey was a few months ago to more recently Derrick Henry. And now Dalvin Cook wants his and Alvin Kamara wants his. And those guys are almost certainly going to get it. And I think I read yesterday that Kamara's was almost done. You know, I'm not sure that's coming next March or next August for Nick Chubb. But it's too early to say that it's absolutely not. It's just the way you read yesterday's news is that it's probably not.
Are they getting too cute with Nick Chubb, considering what he's meant to this organization in his first 2 years, his work ethic, the culture that supposedly he brings, you know, back there, not only in the workout room but also the locker room?
Valid question, Anthony. I don't think so because it's, you know, he can't. It's not like he's extension eligible now. He has to play the season. Is that something that could be the case? You know, maybe. But to me, the complication of this is people that have said all along, well, analytically driven front office will never pay a running back that. I don't want to argue with them, but I would just say Nick Chubb is the perfect player, the perfect prospect, and he's meant so much. But what you said the way you framed that question, which was well done, by the way, says exactly where the Browns are right now, which is what he's done was not for these guys, right? And so they're starting anew. And so they want everything to work, and they would love to write huge checks to Baker, to Denzel, and to Nick Chubb, because that means that they had a great year and that this, you know, the guys that they brought in have put this team in position to finally contend. But they're not married to any of those guys, so we'll see, and we'll see starting Sunday.
Zach Jackson with us on the show. So that was some strong stuff, because I like Nick Chubb, and I want to be able to pay him, but I also looked at the maxim of, hey, you look at the past Super Bowl winners, the past teams that participated in the Super Bowl. Todd Gurley's the only guy who got a contract out of 11 guys. I mean, that's a very telling thing that successful teams, they just don't have it in their cards to pay big money for these guys. And, yeah, I think Nick Chubb can get a lot of money, but I think he's probably going to get a lot of money from a team that probably isn't a contender, and that might even include the Cleveland Browns. We don't know what the Browns are going to do this year or for the foreseeable future, Zach.
No, we don't. If they win, Chubb's probably going to have 1,500 yards and 14 touchdowns, though, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You would think. So we'll see. Like, you know, one thing that struck me, the Miles thing was never a surprise, right? It was only a matter of when, and when he got fully reinstated back early in the offseason before the world went mad, it was only a matter of when. But that was so new to the Browns, signing their own guys and thinking about what it's going to look like. So you can't sign everybody. You can sign almost everybody. You can keep groups together, and you can do things. And I think yesterday's example, or yesterday's signing, is an example of a smart front office trying to get ahead of things and doing what smart teams would do. But they're just not there yet, so we'll see. You know, none of us know how close they are, but they're just not there yet on winning, on which guys they have to pay, which guys they want to pay, which guys they're worried about paying, and, you know, how it all works out. I mean, the two receivers carry cap numbers of $14 million, and the tight end carries a cap number of $11 million. That's a lot for one position. If they're winning, you keep it going, right? We don't have any idea what's going to happen in the secondary or at linebacker. The defensive line should be like running back, the strength of the team. You know, all three of those guys are well paid. Larry's up after this year. Vernon's up after this year. Sheldon has no guarantees, but is supposed to make 11 or 13 next year. So we don't know what's going to happen there. So there's a lot, and, you know, these are kind of first-world problems, and if you win, you confront them, and we'll see. I mean, I think eventually this team has the talent to win. There's still a lot of questions, and they just haven't done it, so we'll see.
Okay, to Bull and Fox, you had said that OBJ is the sixth or seventh most important player. Isn't that what you said?
Yes, I said I can't see him being one of the five most important players for this team.
Okay, so I tweeted that you said he wasn't very important. You said I was false. How am I false on that? Hey, false. You're laughing.
Well, I mean, if you think they're going to win anything, right, and you've been planning this 9-7 parade for months. And
God, I hate you. God, I hate you. God, you're the worst.
If you think that they're going to win anything, right, mm-hmm. then they're going to need all those guys. I just think when I look at what this offense is going to have to do early to find its footing to help the offensive line, and when I look at the questions on the defense and who they play and how that's going to have to go, he just doesn't crack the top five most important for me. Do I think that he can be great, and has he looked great in camp? Yes. You know, if he still has that extra gear, and when the offense gets going, if the play action can get him deep, that's how you win games, and that's how all of a sudden he pops an 80, 160, two touchdown day. But I just think Baker's the most important player. I think Chubb and Garrett, given their talent and you know, commitments, what they mean to drive and everything, are right there. And, you know, I look at the rookie left tackle as part of a remade offensive line. I look at the questions across the defense. I look at the immediate, you know, move to go get Austin Hooper and what he could mean for opening things up for Odell and for Jarvis. I don't think he's one of the top five most important, but, I mean, it's a big year for Odell and for this, you know, Odell being known as a really top flight receiver and a guy why he was brought here. A guy to help the Browns get to the next level. I mean, look, I think the Browns are off to a good start on offense, and I look at Kareem Hunt and Odell as guys that can help them go, you know, first from okay to good and eventually from good to great. I just don't think he's one of the top five most important Browns right now as the season begins. I could be wrong on that, but I don't think I am.
Zach, do you care right now who calls the plays to start the season? It's the first time in a long time where it seems like the fans don't really know what to think when it comes to that question.
Yeah, they have not answered it. Back in January, I reported that it would be Alex. I really don't know if that's changed or not. I think they have long known why they've chosen to do it this way. There has to be strategic reasons. I don't know. I mean, Alex has only formally called plays one time, and it was 10 years ago. So did they not want the Ravens to go back in the archive and get that year of the Bills offense? You know, I don't know that. So we'll see. Like I said, as long as they know, and I'm confident that they do, then, you know, I don't think that it's a huge deal. So, you know, maybe Stefanski initially just didn't want to be that next first year coach calling plays, as we've dealt with here like six times in this decade, right? Or maybe Alex always was, which is what I was told. I don't know. It's something I think has been handled kind of clumsily, but as long as they've known, as long as they've planned for it, I don't think it's as big a deal as it's spun to be, which is why I don't know why they just didn't answer it 4 weeks ago.
10 seconds. What is this team's record in 2020?
7-9.
Does Baker Mayfield make it through the entire year as a starter?
Oh, he should.
Okay, good.
He should.
All right, fine.
We'll see.
All right, if they're 7-9, then I can get a year 4 out of Baker. All right. Technically, you would owe me a bottle of whiskey, but I know you don't pay on your bets, so thank you, Zach. Set a high bar around these parts. Zach Jackson on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Yes, he hung up on me. It wasn't the other way around. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we go around the AFC North. Coming up next, you heard what Zach had said about Nick Chubb. Trust me, I really want to be wrong about this. I just don't see how there's a way I am. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima live on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.